born to roam. I love to travel.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
The whole point of traveling somewhere is to do activities that are fun or interesting or enriching or otherwise give you the experience of your destination when you get there. The queen of pre-trip planning, who also just happens to be your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, has some thoughts and recommendations about setting an itinerary, including what to plan when. And don't worry, solo travel procrastinators, Astrid has something for you too. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Let's go to Astrid and talk about managing your itinerary as a solo traveler. Here's Astrid.
Sites and itinerary. This is a question about the timing for planning your, what sites you're going to see in your itinerary. So much to do, so little time. Astrid, what are your tips for planning a great itinerary, timing-wise?
Okay, now this itinerary planning, really, I have to say, it can be the most challenging, time-consuming, and downright difficult, especially if you're not used to doing it. That's when a lot of people just say, well, I'm going to get a travel agent to do it. But I love to plan. I love to research. I mean, this is just my cup of tea, and I find it fun and challenging. And I've done so much of it. I have my systems. That's one of the things. Yeah. You need to get your systems going, and it's not so difficult. It does take time. But really, there's so much that you need to do before you leave on a trip that it can be overwhelming. And I have to kind of say, for me, even somebody who's been doing it for 40 years. But that's why I've created basically these systems, these guides, these worksheets, everything to help me not forget something that is important. So here are my tips basically on how to tackle creating what I think is good or excellent trip itineraries for your solo adventures. Now, my focus is going to illustrate a 1 week, one destination trip, because itineraries obviously for multi destinations around the world and how you prepare for those and develop those are a lot different than 1 week, one destination, because the rhythm will be different. There'll be a lot of similarities, but the rhythm will be different. There'll be different focuses. Even the packing will be different in maybe two or three kind of themes that you have to blend, and there's all kinds of different things. So I'm going to just focus on 1 week at one place, and let's just say Paris, because I'm getting ready to go to Paris for a week. Okay, the first tip is do not procrastinate. I mean, when I say don't procrastinate, start early. And even just a one-place destination like Paris, 4 to 6 months ahead of time. I have been to Paris 10 times at least. And for this recent trip, I've been working on it for minimum 4 months. And I'm seasoned. I've been there. I can visualize the streets, left bank, right bank. I mean, the whole thing. But it takes a lot of time to create an itinerary for a trip that you're trying to execute that will really make your heart sing and be something very memorable and worth the time, worth the money, and make the trip great. So 4 to 6 months ahead of time. So gives yourself enough time, minimum 3 months. Now, like I said, it sounds like it's too early, but trust me, it's not, because all of this takes time. And I guarantee if you leave it to the last minute, the stuff will come up at your work. Things will go wrong with your family. You'll have unexpected responsibilities you have to do. And then at the end, you're all stressed out. You didn't really get to research all the restaurants you wanted to. You haven't decided exactly, you know, where you're going to eat. Now, I know this is getting a little too nitpicky, and some people say, oh, well, I'll find a restaurant, and that's good. But when you're at Paris, you want to eat at some of the finest. I mean, you have to think about it, because first of all, you have to make reservations before probably you have to leave in order to eat at some of these places. So 3 months a minimum, because you can do it leisurely. When you have an hour or two in the evening and you're relaxing, you say, get on the computer, I'm going to Google Paris restaurants. and get your little travel journal out. And if you find one or two, write that down. Write down the address, phone number, email, how you make reservation, etc. So don't procrastinate. Start early, 4 to 6 months ahead of time, minimum 3 months. Okay, then like I say, get a trip journal. For every trip, I get a little spiral notebook. Some of them aren't spiral. Some of them are like leather bound. Sometimes I have pretty ones. Sometimes I have cheap ones. It doesn't matter. But then the thing that it does matter, though, is you have enough pages in it. Don't get something with just 20 pages. Because what I do, I start writing everything from the beginning of my flights, my hotel research, anything that I read that I want to do or whatever. I start writing all that down. And then from all of that information, after that, I will build the itinerary. Then once I get to the destination and I'm executing the itinerary and I'm either eating my lunch and I'll be writing down what I just did or crossing off what I did or I had the address here. Or at night, I'll write all my experiences that day, what I saw, what I felt, what I'm thinking about. It all goes in that journal. So when I get home, I've just got a fabulous memory. And I have it all there. And now that I'm blogging and doing podcasts, I can really go back and make reference. But they're wonderful things. And I guarantee you, 10 years from whenever you take a trip and you have a journal and you're going through it and you're reading it, oh, that's what life's all about, is memories like that. But you will have recorded it so you can recall it. I think all of us are just getting more and more stuff in our brain that we can only remember a certain amount. So get that trip journal. Very important. Like I said, write down the flight information, hotel options, sites. What are my must-do sites? And then some of the other things that, well, maybe I'll do that. Then all the different restaurant options. And make sure you write down addresses and reservation information, because when you start developing that trip itinerary, you're going to want to know where the address is, because you're going to want to know that you're going to be around certain other things when you're around that restaurant. You don't want to go at this restaurant and then you have to travel across town and you might have to take a cab and then you get caught in traffic. And then it's closed for lunch by the time you get there at 2. Oh, no, it's happened. Oh, it has happened. And then as well as your entertainment options, pertinent information, how you get the tickets, do you have to do it ahead of time, cultural do's and don'ts. When you read about or you're doing your pre-trip research, you need to understand some things about the culture where you are going to be traveling to, just to make you more prepared to really enjoy the differences that you're going to experience. Like, I know a lot of my friends, when I've told them that, oh, well, I'm going to Dubai or I'm going to somewhere in the Middle East or whatever, they go, oh, you want to go? I said, well, you have to understand the culture there. And so I begin to explain to them that I'm very comfortable there, and why I'm comfortable there, for the most part, is because I understand the culture. And after I've been there once or twice, I'm a big proponent of you have to go there to understand it. And before you go, you should understand why their culture is the way it is. And it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. Granted, it's a whole different approach in certain things than, say, we in America or the West are used to. But it's something to appreciate and also to respect. And so it is very interesting to me. But write down all that stuff, because you might read it and then you'll forget it. And then you go there and you go, oh, is this right? Or can I not do this? If you have it written down, you can just go back and read. So, oh, yeah, it's okay if you turn your fork upside down to eat with it. Or you better not do that, because that's something that will give the wrong impression. I'm just making that up. But write down those cultural do's and don'ts. Then also, you might want to take some day tours when you're there. Write down the booking information, everything, so you don't have to redo it or get your concierge to look it up and then they can't find it. If you have it all down there, Because I know before, I haven't written down the specific food tours that I want to take. But I know I want to take a food tour. So I'll go to the concierge and tell them I want to do this food tour, blah, blah, blah. And they'll book me on, well, it's not the food tour that I wanted. But I couldn't explain it to them, and I got on the wrong food tour. You know, I haven't had any disasters that way, but I learned my lesson. You have to write the information down with the phone number, specific company, blah, 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 and you won't get on the wrong whatever. Okay. You start logging in all this information in your journal. So you don't have to reread it or re-go back and find it. You save a lot of time, and believe me, it does keep you organized and focused and not overwhelmed. I like to write it down, but some people create like Google Docs or whatever, and they put all their research in there. Well, I kind of do that too. I first of all write everything down, and then from what I've written down, I will put it in Google Docs, okay? So that will be the framework when I start creating the real daily itineraries, okay? So that's what I use in order to take that information and start really getting specific with it and doing the daily itineraries. But I have it in that travel journal, and I put that travel journal in my tote or my backpack just in case I've lost my printout of my itinerary. I mean, I still have that information so I can problem solve.
Your phone dies, you still have it.
Oh, yeah. And then you'd be surprised. That will save you from a little mini trip disaster. Okay. The next is your itinerary planning tools. Now, there's a few tools. First of all, a calendar. You got to get a calendar and see what the dates are and when you're going to be gone in terms of month and date, basically, numerical date. Some people just use paper calendars or a date time or whatever to create their itineraries. But I go back to that trip journal. I make one page for Monday, November the 5th. The second page for Tuesday, November the 6th, complete blank. And then I'm going to fill in on that particular page using pencil at first, how I begin to create a rough draft for the itinerary. But you have to start with some kind of calendar and pinpoint things for days. And you don't have to say 8 o'clock in the morning, but a.m., p.m., I think is fine. Some people do it in a computer doc, and that's what I end up doing. Once I've done it in the journal in pencil, then I create it on a Google Doc, and I put that doc on my app on my phone. So I actually have it on my phone, too. But some people do spreadsheets. Oh, and man, they get like, okay, from 8 until 10, I'll do this. From 10 until 11:30, I'll do this. From 11:30 to, I mean, they go just, whew. And I don't like those little boxes and everything. I'm not the generation. So it's like anything. Any big thing you have to do, you have to break it down into small, doable, understandable pieces. So that's kind of how I start doing it. Now, there are some apps. There's one app called TripIt that helps you build an itinerary. So for those younger people or people who are listening to me that love apps, there are apps out there. I've never used them, so I can't honestly recommend anything to you. But there are some that are great. And they'll say, oh, you shouldn't do this or this because it's not close together and that kind of thing. And that kind of brings me to my next thing. You have to get a map. You have to familiarize yourself. And there are a lot of people that don't like to read maps, or they just go, ugh. But I have found that is very important. So either go to the bookstore and get a map, a good map, or download. You can download anything and print it off the internet. Neighborhood maps with all the streets and everything. Get yourself some maps. Because what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to plot where all these things you want to do, whether it's museums or restaurants or shops where they are. So here again, you're not doing something in this neighborhood, and then you have to go across town to do that. And you didn't realize, just because you wanted to do all these museums, that they were scattered all over the city, and it was impossible for you to do that. So the maps are wonderful. Plus, when you do that, you get so familiar with the street names and all of that, that when you are there, you feel much more like you've been here before, or you know where you are. So get a map. Then also know how to use Google Maps, because when you're there, it'll help you get from point A to point B if you don't know really how to get there or read a map. Plus, the Google Maps will also help you zone in on how close walking distance is to between this and that. But take the time to study this, because you're going to have to figure out, can I walk from point A to point B? Or where is the closest metro? And I can take the metro if you're comfortable with doing that. Or do I have to take a cab? And if I have to take a cab, we never know if that's going to take 10 minutes, or somewhere that should have taken 10 minutes can take an hour because you did it at lunchtime and the traffic was horrendous. I mean, Mexico City is...
That's exactly where I was thinking about.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You want to try to walk everywhere you can. That's the toughest thing about Mexico City. So you need to plan your daily itineraries that are in zones for sure. Okay, like I said, lots of people don't like to take the time to do that. It's just something that they just, I'll get the concierge to tell me, or I'll figure it out once I get there. But in order to create good itineraries, you have to know where these things are, if they're close to each other, etc. Okay, now, there are other trip research sources and materials that I just go over briefly, because I've probably said already in this broadcast and I forgot that I've said them, or you might have listened to some of my other ones and I say this over and over, because this
your
is
favorite.
This is it. Google, first of all, Google is the greatest thing. You don't have to go anywhere. Just get on there and Google. That's tremendous research source material to figure out whatever you want to do, where you want to stay, etc. Then also printed material. Now, it's not out of date totally. Your travel magazines, travel guides, books, they're all good. Like, I love Afar. I like to read their articles. They give you wonderful insight on the soul of a place or what really makes it special. So don't discount the printed material. Try to get some of that, okay? Then the YouTube videos, it's a must to watch those to really decide if you want to go to this museum or that museum. I mean, you know, if you don't know if you really want to take the time, YouTube video the Anthropology Museum in Mexico City. See what's in there. See if you're going to be interested in that, or maybe you should just not do it. And then last, podcast. Podcast are one of these things that are becoming more and more a research or a resource material for all kinds of information, because people a lot of times don't have the time to read anymore, or they read so much, or they're on the computer so much during the day that they are just tired of it. And to listen to something is just wonderful because they can get the information without having to read it. So, podcast, solo travel talk. Okay, now, we're funneling down into the daily itinerary construction. And a lot of people, to thought of doing that, they go, oh, no. I just have the list of things I want to do, and I'll see whatever I can do. And if I can't do it, then I didn't do it. And for some people, that's great. For somebody like me who wants to get the most out of everything, I want to plan it because I know that will make a difference on how much I really can accomplish. First of all, you really have to kind of decide whether you want to be. This is going to be a slow travel experience where you do less things every day and you spend more time at each place, or you just want a jam-pack activity, which is basically fast trip or a fast travel, okay? I prefer slow travel and doing just a couple of things every day, but then tacking on a few more days on a trip. Like 2 years ago, I went to Venice and I spent 9 days in Venice. Well, you can probably do Venice in 4 days if you really want to fast track it, but I didn't want to fast track anything in Venice. I wanted to be able to walk on those bridges and all those little alleyways.
Find the best gelato.
Oh, yeah. And just go to all the different neighborhoods and go to music concerts at night and everything. I wanted to just almost play like I was a Venetian. So I like slow travel because that's what I like now. I don't like fast travel anymore. It might even be a matter of age, or I've kind of been there, done that. I want to get more authentic in the things that I want to do. And that takes time. You can't just do it real quick. But you have to decide. Sometimes you don't have the time to really stay. But I can tell you one time, all I can think of is that first time I went to Dubai, and it was very fast paced. I was actually invited by some people with Dubai Real Estate to go and view the Palm. And this was right when it was being developed and when Dubai was really being planned and first developed as this fabulous modern city in the Middle East. So I was lucky enough, I was asked to go and I went. And that flight was unbelievably long. It was something like 36 hours, two or three connections I had to make and layovers. I landed at 1:30 in the morning, got out of the plane, and it was 110 degrees. I went through the airport, the gorgeous brand new airport, and finally got to my hotel room at like about 2:30 or something. I couldn't sleep a wink. I was just wide awake. Then my party met me at 10 o'clock in the morning, so I really didn't get any sleep for it started on 2 days. That heat, all the things that we were doing. The first day, I didn't get back to the hotel till about 1:30 at night because they stay up very late in that area of the world. Oh, my God. Then my hotel room was kind of close to where the bar was or the lounge was, so I could kind of always hear the music, and I couldn't move. Oh, my God. I never got any sleep in that heat. Did stuff all the time. Very interesting, gorgeous place. I mean, I was operating on empty the whole trip. When I got back home, I was so exhausted from this fast travel that it took me 10 days to recuperate. I'll never forget, I was laying in bed. My body would just jolt up involuntarily, like, oh, I mean, it was trying to relax. But the point I'm making is if you do fast travel, you're going to probably need a vacation after your vacation when you come home. You're going to have to recuperate. So if you do too much, it's going to catch up with you. But sometimes you don't have the option. And so I just want to kind of prepare you for that. So when you're making your trip itineraries, the pace, you got to think about pace of your days. And my preferred pace is to do two things in the morning, an hour and a half for lunch, then two stops in the afternoon, but like an afternoon coffee break or gelato break or in between the last two, then have a nice leisurely dinner. And you might have something planned for the evening. Or you might go back to your hotel and sit outside or go into the lounge if they have music and you're comfortable doing that. Kind of get into your own rhythm. Don't push yourself too much because everything is new to you, or for the most part, if you've never been there before, it is. And all of that is stressful, more stressful than you realize. Even if you're executing your itinerary and everything's going, it's still stressful. You're in a different longitude, latitude. This is all new. It's coming. You're trying to absorb it and perceive it, and that wears on you. And I guarantee you, even with a good itinerary pace like this, about day three is when you hit a wall and you don't even really realize it, but it's kind of like you get a little tired or the exhaustion. That's why a lot of people, they only do 3 days here, 3 days, but because that 3 days is kind of when they hit a brick wall. And so that's when you kind of know you need to pull back. You might want to sleep later one morning, get started later, and you only do one thing. And then you might jack it up in the afternoon and do three things if you really want to do something that you let slide in the morning. But you have to know that that's going to happen and prepare for that. And if you get real tired, you might want to go to bed at 9 o'clock at night. And that's good too, because you'll get a better night's sleep if you really need it. So the next day you can wake up at 7, you're eating breakfast and you're ready to go. And that makes a lot of difference rather than pushing yourself. I tell you, I've had so much experience and I know the quality of your trip goes down. You're not absorbing. You're not paying attention. You're getting a little off. You might be a little testy and that kind of thing. So just know that. I think older travelers pretty much will go to bed earlier. Younger travelers, they tend to stay out late and they don't wake up until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So they've wasted the whole morning. But the bottom line is you're going to experience some kind of burnout. So you need to think about that and think about your pace and what are your must-dos versus, oh, well, maybe I can't do everything. So then comes the plotting of the daily activities on your itinerary. Monday, I'm going to do this, this, this. And then Tuesday, I'm going to do this, this, this. And that's when you've plotted things on the map, you know where this, that, and others, then you say, okay, I can do these three things in the morning, or I can do these two things in the afternoon. And all I have to do is take the metro and it, you know, five stops and you know how to get there. So you take and you plot, you put your must-dos in. And then those must-dos, how you can create those other things around it. And that's how you start building the itinerary. And you put in the itinerary the name of the place, the address, how you're going to get there. Write down those little sub-notes, but put it in that itinerary. Because I tell you, that will save you too. Even if you have it in your travel journal, you're going to have to find it. If it's on that itinerary, you can pull it up in your Google Docs on your phone and look at it and say, okay, yeah, this one I have to do, blah, blah, blah. You'd be surprised how much smoother just having that all there organized is. Fabulous. And also, when you're doing that, verify that the museums, the sites, the tours, the restaurants, the shops, they're all open on those days that you're putting them in. Because I've been at fault. I wanted to go to a museum on Tuesday and it was closed. Oh my God. Then I have to go back and think, oh, now what am I going to substitute here? And I can't do this because it'll mess up all this. So double check that. Before it's hard and flexible.
Do you buy your tickets at this point for some of these museums?
Oh, yeah. Well, not so much the museums, but any of the entertainment. Like for my Paris trip, I want to go to the ballet. I've already purchased the tickets because it's so important that I make sure that I finally get to the Opera Garnier, which I wanted to go. I've never been there. And I've been to Paris, like I said, this is probably my 10th time. I've always wanted to go. So this time, this was a total must-do that I wanted to do. So make sure you write down all that information and you double-check that they're open, etc. Okay. Then once you get there, be flexible. These plans are just there as guidelines. Don't stress yourself out. Serendipity does always come in. And if something's good going on and you're feeling it, just go with the flow. Because I can tell you, most trips, 70% of what you do is planned and 30% is unplanned. And that's a good mix because that's really real life. And that means that something is happening that you didn't know, but is evolving, that is a good thing. So If you meet somebody interesting at your afternoon coffee break and you start talking to them and you want to linger there for an hour and a half or 2 hours, do it. That might be exactly the conversation you needed for the last 10 years. And it happened in Timbuktu. Things like that happen all the time when you travel. And it seems to be it happens almost more intensely or more often when you travel solo. So don't be so hooked to an itinerary that you block out something that is a special moment. Or a museum might take you twice as long to go to. You think, oh, well, I'll see this museum in an hour and a half. And you get so immersed in it that you stay there 4 hours. But let me tell you, that museum might be the most fabulous thing you've done in the last 10 years. And that's a highlight probably of your trip. So don't ruin it by obviously saying, well, then if I don't go now, you have to make value judgments. But I'm saying that don't mess up a good thing when it's evolving. Or like me, I get caught up in retail therapy.
Famously, yes.
So that's another reason why I always check on a couple of days. So I can just leisurely window shop. And I usually buy one or two things that probably I don't need, but I love, and it makes me happy. But if I didn't have the time to do it, then I couldn't do it. So a plan for that. Then the next tip is share your itinerary with your family and your friends before you leave. So they have an idea of what you're going to be doing on Monday or Tuesday, kind of where you are, and that's a good thing. It keeps everybody happy. And God forbid if something would happen to you, they have some idea where they think you were supposed to be. So do share that itinerary with your family and significant other or friends or whatever.
Listeners, we have something pretty cool for you. Astrid has a whole new resources page on her website, astridtravel.com. I'm going to put a link in the show notes there. You're going to be able to find not only Astrid's amazing packing list that we've been telling you about every single episode, but now she has other guides and information that is complimentary to you. This whole resource page is really designed to get all of Astrid's wisdom about solo travel to you. So please go ahead and check out that resources page. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, love you Spotify, any of the finer places that podcasts can be found. We've been getting some great listener comments lately. People going to the Ask Astrid section and contacting Astrid. We love hearing from you. We would love to know your itineraries, some of the things that you're getting up to in your own solo travels. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We look forward to seeing you next week on Solo Travel Talk. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.